We're on the news line with Erin Goodigaber. She's a licensed professional counselor at Courtyard Counseling in Sealance Grove. Thank you for calling in today, Erin. Greetings.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
I do appreciate that. For the most part, you are hearing that people are doing okay. The people that you're encountering, they're doing okay?
Yes, I think they are doing okay. We're using a system called Doxy.me, and so it's a video system. So I do get to see folks, and they get to see me as well. So I think that's helpful. Of course, phone calls we can do with folks if they don't have that capability to do the video. For the most part, I've actually been pretty surprised that people are coping better than I expected. Now, who knows, as we go on, I think when we're coping, we're using up resources in order to deal with a difficult situation. And so as we go on, we would expect perhaps for coping to start to diminish, and maybe we're going to have to be very active in engaging those coping skills. Because this, what we find ourselves in, is really uncertain, and there's a chronic nature to that then, where the stressor, that uncertainty is chronic and longer lasting than maybe an acute stressor. So that's something we definitely want to keep checking in with folks, with loved ones, and for me, with my clients, sure.
For people who are essential workers, are you hearing from them as well that it's kind of so far so good?
The local essential workers, I think so. Yeah, at least the folks that I talk to on a regular basis, they're continuing to do okay. They're being careful. By and large, employers are trying to protect their employees the best they can. At least that's been the experience of the folks I've talked to.
Tell me about the physical manifestation of stress when you start to, when folks do start to worry, or this, when this does bother them for a period of time.
Sure. So, you know, stress is really interesting because it's one of the mental health things we worry about that has a real physical manifestation. And so folks may feel their heart beating more rapidly. They might have more muscle tension where at the end of the day they notice, like, wow, my neck's really hurting, or, their breathing could be more rapid. And so there's physical clues or cues that they're maybe having more stress than they would normally. Our bodies can't be stressed and relaxed at the same time. So a lot of the work that I do with individuals is, how do we engage the relaxation that our body can do instead of the stress? Again, because we can't be both at the same time. And so I'll work with folks to have them do deep breathing, to do muscle relaxation, to engage in mindfulness techniques where they're really paying attention in a non-judgmental way to what's going on in their body, accepting it for what it is, and then trying to move on from there.
Tell me about some elements of self-care, some ideas when it comes to self-care. What do you advocate for that?
Sure. So I read this article in Forbes probably about 2 years ago now, and it said it beautifully, that because a lot of times when we think about self-care, we think about some kind of hygienic thing, like getting your hair done, doing your nails, engaging in like an extra step of care. And the Forbes article talked really beautifully about sometimes self-care is doing the thing you don't necessarily want to do, but you do it anyway because you know it's good for you. So it could be going to bed early. It could be making sure you're eating enough vegetables in your diet, even though you really want to eat the plate of cookies that are on your counter. It's things like getting out and getting some physical activity in your day, even though you rather maybe sit on the couch and watch, your favorite TV show. And so I think that's important to remember, that sometimes self-care, it's work to engage in self-care. And so these are the kind of basic things I talk to folks about. Are you sleeping well? Are you getting enough hours of sleep? Are you eating a green thing every once in a while? Are you engaging in some kind of meaningful physical activity? And that doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, like a workout video or hardcore cardio workout. It could be going for a walk or gardening in your yard, and things like that are fine. And then the fourth part of self-care is really social connection. So are you having meaningful connection with people you care about in your life? So those are the four basic building blocks of self-care that I talk to people about on a pretty much daily basis at this point.
Well, and I think it's noteworthy you point out that in some cases you may have to push yourself a little bit to do that. I don't feel motivated to exercise really after work, but it's you're sort of pushing something.
You know, it's good for you, sure. So you do it because you want to take good care of yourself. I mean, why do we fight with our kids to eat their vegetables, right? Because we know that it's good for them, even if they don't necessarily, it's not their favorite thing to eat. So, yeah, we need to take those same principles and apply them to ourselves sometimes.
How do you keep hope? At first, we were in a two-week shutdown, then it was 4 weeks. Now they say the end of this month, and now they say the new normal is a year or so of the new normal. What do you say about keeping hope alive?
I think a lot of the times we need to look at what's maybe going okay or what's going well. If we look for the negative, we're always going to find it. You know, there are really tragic circumstances in different parts of the country at this point, and we're kind of waiting for them to come our way, that's a thought that's going to produce some stress and anxiety. And so in order to be hopeful, I think we have to look at what's going okay. I think collecting any silver linings about the situation. So I'm not working as much. That's it for me, because I can afford to pay my bills. That's a silver lining. Now, that might not be everyone's silver lining. Maybe it's spending more time with your kids at home. Maybe it's getting to do a home project that's been on your list for 2 years and now you have the time to do it. So I think looking for what's going okay or what's going well, and that, again, may take some effort. Like, we have to be effortful in some of these practices that we're asking people to do in order to take care of themselves. The other thing I think that can really increase hope is caring for others. And so, can I make some phone calls to check in with people? Can I send a care package? You know, maybe I have pictures that I've wanted to send to a family member that lives far away. Can I get those in the mail? Maybe even sending letters or thank you notes to the firefighters, the first responders, the healthcare professionals, either in your family or in your community. I think these are ways we can reach out, and that can actually increase our hope, because we feel like a member of our community. We're actively participating in that community with others.
Well, I can think of a couple silver linings. One, I get to wear jeans to work every day. And I
hope. Oh, yeah. The other day, I wore a blouse on top and then a set of sweatpants below, because they weren't going to see my bottom half. So I thought, you know what? This is fine.
As long as you don't have to get up to get something.
Right. Yeah. No. Then, you know, then they'll see my sweatpants and know I'm human, I guess. So that's okay, too.
Well, I get to spend more time with my wife again, so that works out in my favor. I've heard the mention of PTSD as a fear for the future. This idea that, you know, we'll keep it together now, we'll do what it takes to take good care of ourselves and survive this, but later there would be lasting reactions because of maybe the fear or the stress or the concerns that we're living through right now. What's your thought about that observation?
There's a potential for that, for sure, and so we have to take that seriously. You know, all all mental health problems or disorders, when symptoms reach a certain threshold, like they become excessive or maybe all-consuming, or really the hallmark is, does it interfere with your daily living? That's when it crosses over into kind of a disorder. And so for probably most of us, the stressors and anxieties, the extra stressors that we're carrying with us right now, when things go back to normal, they'll kind of dissipate and fade away gradually. But maybe for a certain sector of the population, that may not happen. And so then, as a mental health professional, I'm someone, or in your community, you want to connect maybe initially with your primary care physician, and then they can help refer you to a mental health professional. If these things linger for more than a month or two, I'd say, and they really are affecting your daily living, that's a time when you want to reach out maybe for some professional help. It's really normal to have upsetting memories, thoughts, maybe trouble sleeping after a trauma happens. Now, this is a little bit different because it's more a chronic stressor that we're dealing with, not necessarily one traumatic event that's happening. So most people are going to start to feel better. If you don't, though, that's a time you want to reach out to professionals and get help, because it's a treatable disease, and you don't want to avoid getting help because it's not going to avoidance does not help PTSD to go away.
Well, I would think it would be a real factor for people who are on the front lines, you know, medical personnel or maybe first responders, that kind of thing.
I agree 100%. Yeah, those are the folks probably most at risk for developing PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Or if you have family members affected by COVID, that's another sector of the population that we would need to be extra careful with and maybe do more check-ins and assessments to see if you have a loved one who passes away, for example. That would be something you definitely want to check in.
Some tips for folks to better cope with what's happening.
So I think definitely practicing your self-care, and that's something I think most of us have been hearing. I know I've been saying an awful lot is checking in with self-care. Having a routine, so some kind of making sure you go to bed, wake up around the same time every day, having regular meals, essentially trying to find a new groove or a new normal for right now. Now it's not going to be what it looks like typically, but if you can kind of establish a routine, that's going to be something that's, I think, very helpful to people. Doing the self-care, like I said, making sure you're getting enough sleep, eating, getting some physical activity, reaching out to others, trying to find ways to be social, even if it's not maybe your preferred way of being social. So, I much rather meet with individuals face-to-face in my office, and I just can't do that right now. So I have to accept the fact that it's going to be through a screen for now. And, you know, it's not my ideal, but it's good enough for right now. So I think those would be my tips.
There may be some people who are pretty isolated. What's your reflection on the fact that there's going to be a lot of people that may be lonely, they just can't see their family, they miss the social opportunities that they have?
I think being in touch through any means possible, right? So maybe, again, it's not your ideal method of communication, but phone calls, if they can be engaging with their social media, FaceTime, Zoom, that's really important. Again, having a routine, even if you're isolated, making sure you're taking really good care of yourself, getting good sleep, eating regular meals. There's a tendency sometimes to not think about those things. So being really active and mindful of that, even if you're isolated. Staying busy. So I've talked to an awful lot of people who have broken out puzzles that they haven't looked at in years. So puzzles, books, crafts, you know, write a story, write a poem, anything that you enjoy. Maybe pick up an instrument you haven't touched in a while. There's an awful lot of ways we can spend our time, even if we're alone in doing that. So, and I think the other piece that's really important is making sure you're not sitting at home listening to statistics and death tolls and infection rates.
The news, my gosh. Turn the news
all day long. Yeah, well, some of it's good. Like, you want to be informed and know what's going on in the world, but not all day, every day. That's going to have a major toll in making you feel more isolated, feeling more anxious, and really fearful and scared because of all the uncertainty involved in this.
If somebody wants more information, how can they contact you or get more information?
They can give Courtyard Counseling Center a call, and the phone number is 570-743-2323, and they can leave a message for any of the therapists here on staff, and we'll do our best to be in touch as soon as we can. And if we can't help them directly, that will refer them and try and get them connected with someone who can. Also, there's a lot of great tips online. So if you're feeling or thinking a certain way, you can do a quick Google search and maybe get some ideas that we didn't talk about here, but might be something that might be really helpful to you. So if you're looking at ways to keep busy, or, you know, coping techniques, like how do I relax my body when I'm feeling nervous or stressed, there's wonderful resources online that'll pop up for you as well.